This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Bruce, good morning. What a glorious day yesterday was for Chicago baseball.
I think it's going to be like that every day for the entire season.
Promise?
No.
Can you promise that, Bruce?
No, I can't. I can't promise. But I can promise you that just the energy from both teams winning, you know, it's a feel good. It's a reminder that spring is actually on its way here and that baseball's back. What could be better? So let's go. What side of the town are we starting on?
Oh, let's start on the south side because they don't get anybody talking about them. The manager wins his first ever game as a manager. Both Brandon and I this morning are praising some of the decisions he made. The use of Clevinger, the way they went to him in the eighth inning, and the way he got him out of that jam, to pitch around Trout and then strike out Soler. I got to tell you, he did a really good job. And then they added on runs, which, you know, it was a big bugaboo for the White Sox last year to be able to, even when you got a lead, to be able to add on a late run. They got three home runs. I just feel like the guy had healing hands.
I you know, all that was exciting, but the bullpen was the fun part to me. You know,
right?
You come up with a Southside legend in one day in a guy by the name of Cam Boozer, right? And people are going to have to do their homework on Cam Boozer and follow this 32-year-old guy's trek through being drafted in 2013 out of baseball for 4 years. Suspended for smoking some reefer at one point, becoming a carpenter for 4 years, going back to the game, playing for the Chicago Dogs, and coming back last year, first year in the major leagues with the Red Sox. So, you know, again, there's really nice stories all around. The pitching was the key for me, guys. So, you know, you start with Burke.
He was unbelievable.
You work your way around. At 73 pitches, okay? Six innings, you know, tip your hat. That's, again, we're not going to get too crazy about the White Sox because it was the Angels, but you have to give them their due for playing a complete game.
I'm very intrigued by Cam Boozer now, Bruce. Yeah, way to whet my appetite for more.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Pete. Are you Peter or Paul?
Bruce.
I know you're not married.
Beyond the bullpen drama and the way that it was used intelligently by Will Venable, I found it interesting his choice of the lineup in terms of who led off, Miguel Vargas, where they batted Benintendi, and just how other things kind of fell into place. What did you think about the lineup and what stood out to you?
Well, I just, you know, looking at the efficient at-bats, you know, starting with Vargas, okay, and then what did, you know, we talked all spring about, well, if they're going to win, it's got to be Robert, Benintendi, right, and Vaughn, okay? And Vaughn didn't have a great day. Benintendi, you know, hit the big bomb. That was a huge part of the game yesterday. But other people are going to have to step up, and Vargas is certainly one of them at this point, you know. And he played a good game. The White Sox played a clean game as well. Both teams played clean games defensively. Those are things you look at, you know. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know if there's any one thing other than the fact that, as you guys just pointed out, there's confidence in this manager from the way you look at it from the outside. And I think talking to the players all spring training and just seeing these guys come in and play ball, there's confidence there. It's not going to be enough to win, you know, 85 games, but it's enough to have a start in an organization. Give Chris Getz, you know, credit for picking out the right guy. And Venable seems to be that way. Now, again, it's one game.
The Cubs, I think they did a good job of taking advantage of what Zach Gallen was giving them. I mean, it was weird to see an all-star pitcher struggle in the way he did. It's just an opening game. Justin Steele was better than he had been in Japan. I don't know that he was great, but he was better than Gallen on that day. And, you know, the Cubs took advantage, got some walks. Ian Happ had a big day. I mean, what can you say? Whether you like him as the leadoff guy or you're hoping that PCA eventually gets in that spot, I thought he played really well.
Right. And you know, they took it, as you guys were talking about this morning, they took advantage of things. Pete Crow Armstrong's hustle to get to second base in the fifth inning to keep that rally going there where they scored three runs was huge. You know, most normal guys are out at second base. He hustled into a fielder's choice, being able to get there and stay there. So the little things are going to add up. A clean game again. You know, the thing that I think we've probably missed about the Cubs this year is they're going to be able to really run the bases, okay? You have the potential of Armstrong, Shaw, Workman, Horner, and your right fielder in Mr. Tucker, all with the capability of stealing 30 bases. In Armstrong, you got a guy that could steal 60 or 70 bases pretty easily, if that's the direction this offense wants to go. So there are different options for Council this year as far as how they score runs. Home runs, you know, they're not looked at as a great home run team, but I think that they have the potential to hit. You know, Amaya and Kelly could combine easily for 20 to 25 home runs, drive in 75 to 80. Those are parts of the offense that really haven't been there for a few years.
So, obviously, Nico Horner coming back makes a difference. He had two hits, so the lineup would be different than it was in Japan already. But, Bruce, how do you explain what I felt like was a smart move, but Matt Shaw batted fifth in Japan, and he's batted eighth yesterday. Is that just because Horner's back, or did somebody get the Craig Council?
I just think they have other options right now. Will Shaw eventually be an upper lineup guy? I think so, but for a rookie to take that on, you know, I think that's a little much. And the idea that both Swanson and Horner, you know, could fill their role. Swanson all spring long was hitting the ball extraordinarily well, back to being the type of player he was with Atlanta and the first year he played for the Cubs. After having that core surgery last year, I think you're seeing the old guy again back there. He's, you know, what has he got to do? He doesn't have to be a superstar. Defensively, he is. You want 20 home runs. You want 35 doubles. You want him to be a guy that is not striking out every ball game. He does strike out a lot, but I think we forgot how important he was to this offense last year. He just... had a bad year, had a decent last couple of months, but him being back, as we talked about yesterday, Horner being maybe one of the most underrated guys in his own team, there's potential here. They have a really good offense.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I was, everybody kind of commented on Cody Petit being taken off the team. You trade Bellinger and you bring him in, and I know that basically you traded a salary, but nonetheless, it's a bad look that the guy can't make the team.
Well, yeah, but I mean, again, I think we all knew, you just said it, Mike, we all knew what it was, right? Mm-hmm. It was a salary dump, $30 million, and what he end up with instead? You end up with Presley, right, in his salary. You end up with Tucker in his salary. They went out and got some periphery guys. They signed Boyd, which should be an important part of the rotation. So was the money well spent not having him there? Could they have spent another $30 million? That's another conversation.
It's another conversation. It's a broader one about what the Cubs have at stake this season in terms of Jed Hoyer's future. He has talked about that a lot, Bruce. Thinks he's been pretty open about what's at stake this season. He did it again yesterday. I know you've discussed some things on the Marquee Sports Network, but how would you describe just what you feel like is the overall approach and focus and mindset for Jed Hoyer heading into this year?
Win, baby. Win right now. And I think there will be residual dollars left if they're in contention come in July, late July. I think that's going to be a key element to, their spending this year. They're going to want to try to win the division and then be able to step up in July, the end of July, moving toward August, and purchase other players and have the dollars for that. So, as fans and as media people, we don't always play general manager looking forward. We look at the team right now. And I think the Cubs will have that ability to do that. And, hopefully it sets up Jed for a nice extension in his front office. And they move forward with a good minor league system that continues to supply good players for the team. We know one's going to play right field for Houston, right?
Right. Well, he got a hit yesterday.
Yeah. He's going to be good.
He's going to be great.
Great stuff, Bruce. A lot of fun.
Thanks, Bruce.
Catching up with you.
See you tomorrow, David.
Oh, yeah. See you tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, inside the clubhouse. I'm back.
Yeah, we're going to have a couple general managers then. It should be fun.
Oh, great. Way to go. You should give that Booker a raise, Bruce.
I've tried. It doesn't work
at all. Well done.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Bruce. All right, we're going to talk to Joe Fortenbaum next. Mully and Haw on the score.